The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard on corners in town, like a cancer that's silently spreading. There's an unspoken fear, we're on our way down. We must take America back, Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back.
We're back. Second hour of the National Intel Report. I'm your host, John Statman, with you on this Wednesday, day before Thanksgiving. By the way, Mike, speaking of Bob Seger, I think we'll exit today's show with his song that's never played on commercial radio. Get your hands in the air. And it covers a lot. In a recent interview, Denny Kucinich, in a recent interview with host Wilmer Leon at the Inside the Issue show, former presidential candidate and United States House of Representative member Dennis Kucinich, Democrat out of Ohio. By the way, has anybody heard Kasich on the news anywhere about anything? No, he's shut his trap since the Trump election. He's gone underground. Kucinich discussed how what Kucinich terms the permanent government that has worked to ensure the United States continues pursuing destructive foreign interventions and to keep America at the precipice of a much wider war, irrespective of who the CEO is. I'm sorry, who the POTUS is. There's an unbroken line going back over 30 years where American presidents have continued to proceed with an interventionism that has been counterproductive, states Kucinich. This continued commitment to a failed foreign policy of interventionism, of unilateralism, of first strike, imperils America, does not make us safer, separates us from the world community, has people looking to extract vengeance on America, and has made the world a more dangerous place. Caught the warnings here? For your holiday travels, folks? Oh, yes, terrorists might be anywhere, and they might get you. Would they be doing this? And let's just play devil's advocate that these aren't whacked-out psych med patients. Or what have you. Let's just say, for the sake of argument, that they really are jihadists and they're joining the cause because they can. I guess the guy that ran over a bunch of people, and this trial is moving rather quickly, he's going to get convicted on 22 different counts. You know, the guy mowing down people in New York on the bike path, where I said that if somebody had a concealed weapon, they could have stopped that guy dead in his tracks. Pun intended. Saying we need to look beyond the personalities of the succession of the U.S. presidents from George W. Bush to Barack Obama to Donald Trump, Kucinich recommends we look at the foreign policy establishment of the United States of America. That, he explains, includes people in the State Department who have a neoconservative ideology, in the Pentagon, who are dedicated to the military-industrial complex, and in the Central Intelligence Agency, who can conjure conflicts and try to justify further involvement of the military and the State Department. This, Kucinich says, is the permanent government, which we see reflected through Democrat and Republican administrations, no matter whether they are so-called conservative or liberal or populist, it's all the same. While this permanent government push for U.S. intervention overseas has produced many harmful consequences, some of which Kucinich discusses in this interview, It's also, he argues, produces the additional danger that it keeps us at the precipice of a much wider war. And you see, folks, the neocons are not done. We're in Afghanistan. I actually caught, and I'm going to be critical of News One Now or whatever. I just saw them do a story the other day that they had some general on, and he's proclaiming that the Taliban have captured 40% of Afghanistan, and that they're the ones that want to keep the heroin and the poppy fields flowing. It is exactly the opposite. The Taliban wanted the poppy fields gone. A little conflict there, don't you think? I actually heard somebody on Fox News actually make the statement. I had to back it up to make sure that I heard it correctly. Actually made the statement that this war in Syria, the Russians were backing pro-Assad, and the United States was backing the fighters that were trying to bring down Assad. The first time I'd heard this coming out of Fox News. Boy, how conflicted they must be, huh? The Neocon Network. I think they should rename themselves. Just call themselves the Neocon Network. Brian Killamede, by the way, that little poppin'. What's that? That little poppin' Jay. You know, it's the couch version of the morning news. What is the other guy's name? I can't say the word on the air. Douchey or whatever his name is. And then there's usually a female there. And then you have Brian Killamede. Killamede came out the other day and said of Judge Roy Moore that if he would have done that to my daughter, I would have kicked his butt. I think he used another term. But really? So this guy is tried and convicted on what the media has brought up and the accusers of the judge. It's just the whole thing is just falling apart. And there was word on the street that Trump may, in fact, jump on the bandwagon for Judge Roy Moore. He doesn't have to. The people in Alabama are going to make their choice. And if any arrogant, entrenched swamp dweller in Washington, D.C., tries to block him being sat as a United States senator, they're in for a world of stuff. A world of it. Charlie Rose, by the way, he was suspended. Charlie Rose is now fired. How much more throwing under the bus can they do? They're going to run out of bodies here pretty soon. Now, net neutrality, this popped up, and I've read this damn thing twice, and I'm still not quite sure. You know, every cloud has a silver lining, or every silver lining has a dark cloud. Glass half full, glass half empty. Numerous reports have indicated that the FCC intends to try and hide its attack on net neutrality behind the looming Thanksgiving Day holiday. The agency is expected to either unveil its former plan today while Americans are distracted by holiday preparations, or potentially on Friday while Americans are busy shopping for Black Friday bargains. Speaking of which, let me stop right here before I forget this. Tom, thank you very much for sending this to me. For those that are a little tight on money, he sends me a note here, FYI, the PX at MacDill Air Force Base opened up for anyone with an honorable discharge to purchase online with free shipping, no sales tax. And PX, you could get some screaming deals there. Remember when you were in the military, guys? Yeah. It was a place to buy stuff and rather cheaply. So I'm assuming here that you have to go up to their web page, and here's a web page address provided. shopmyexchange.com. Simple as that. myexchange.com. So if you're former military and you got an honorable discharge, I guess you can shop online there. No taxes, free shipping. Take advantage of it. There you go, Tom. At any rate, back to the FCC and what they're intending to do here. Regardless of when it's unveiled, the announcement will involve unveiling a formal date to vote to finally kill the rules currently. It's expected to be December 15th. But, as I said, you don't know. It's a devilishly brilliant plan by the FCC and its chairman. I can't even pronounce this guy's name. A-J-I-T, and his last name's P-A-I. What the hell is that? A-J-P-A? I mean, I could just make up stuff. I could just make up babble words here, and we can assign it to somebody's name. He's made no secret of his wish to undo the benchmark rules put in place during Barack Obama's presidency. There will never inevitably be plenty of people already enjoying their holiday break, and any major coverage on Wednesday will then be lost to day of turkey, gravy, football, and indigestion, followed by three more days in which people won't be looking at the news. Now, except for this obfuscation, plan isn't devilishly brilliant. It's a massive underestimation here of the brutal backlash awaiting the broadband industry and its myopic water carriers. Survey after survey, including those conducted by the cable industry itself, have found net neutrality has broad bipartisan support. The plan is even unpopular among the traditional Trump trolls. You can see where this is coming from. Over the 4chan poll that spent the last week drinking onion juice. Their humor is much to be desired here. It's a mammoth turd of a proposal, they say, and outside the color guard of the lead of the telecom industry's sock puppet parade. They must listen to the show. Net neutrality has been a 15-year fight to protect the very health of the Internet itself from predatory duopolists like Comcast. Killing it isn't something you can hide behind a green bean Armandine, and it's not a small scandal when you can bury it via the late Friday news dump. This effort is, by absolutely any measure, little more than a grotesque handout to one of the least competitive and most disliked industries in America. Trying to obfuscate this reality via the holidays doesn't change that. Neither does giving the plan an Orwellian name like Restoring Internet Freedom. Now, it's abundantly clear that the FCC and its supporters were truly proud of what they were doing. They wouldn't feel the need to try and hide it. If this was an FCC that actually wanted to have a candid, useful public conversation about rolling back net neutrality, it wouldn't be actively encouraging fraud and abuse of the agency's comment system. To date, the entire proceeding has been little more than a glorified giant middle finger to the public at large, filled with scandal and misinformation, and the public at large, across partisan aisles, is very much aware of that fact. Now, consumers, small businesses, and those interested in keeping the Internet open, healthy and competitive will remember the severe of a shafting, they're calling it. It's going to inform policy conversations and voting decisions, especially our dear millennials that don't have anything between their ears but air, for years to come. This isn't something that can be hidden between the cranberry sauce and Grandpa Jones' corn-baked surprise. And the fact that AgitPie's staff thinks that even possible highlights how absurdly out of touch the current FCC actually is. Now, many people obviously believe that the net neutrality conversation was over when the FCC crafted the 2015 rules and that they could subsequently tune out because the fight had been won. But net neutrality isn't a conversation that begins or ends when rules are created or destroyed. Since net neutrality is just a symptom of the disease, that's the lack of broadband competition, this battle that will persist for long as the lack of broadband competition exists, and for as long as companies like Comcast attempt to abuse it. Now, with this guy at the FCC at the helm, that's certainly not changing anytime soon. In fact, with the gutting of privacy protections, net neutrality rules, and a blind federal and state eye turned toward cable's growing monopoly over broadband, it's going to get notably worse. Now, supporters of net neutrality also need to understand that the broadband industry's assault on net neutrality is a two-phase plan. Phase one is having an unelected bureaucrat like this Ajit Pai, whatever the heck his name is, play bad cop with his vote to disseminate the rules. Phase two will be to gather support for net neutrality law that professes to be a long-standing solution to this tiresome debate. In reality, this law will be written by ISP lobbyists themselves as an attempt to codify federal apathy on the subject into law. These weaker protections will be designed so it'll be kind of like a loophole filled as to effectively be useless, preventing the FCC from revisiting the subject down the road, a solution that isn't for a problem they themselves created. Now, it's understandable that the public and the press is tired of the debate after 15 years. We'll wear you down one way or the other, and hopefully you'll turn a deaf ear. But instead of hand-wringing and apathy, we should be placing the blame for this endless hamster wheel at the feet of those responsible for it. Comcast, AT&T, Verizon, Charter, and many other economists and Fox academics and lawmakers and other hired policy people willing to sell out the health of the Internet and genuinely competitive markets for a little extra holiday cash. Folks that honestly believe that they can lie repeatedly with zero repercussion and hide a giant middle finger behind the gluten-free stuffing and Aunt Martha's cardboard-esque pumpkin pie, make no mistake here. Net neutrality is likely a permanent battle against telecom duopolists with a vested interest in abusing a lack of broadband competition. It's a battle for a healthy open market, a truly competitive market, and the right to innovate without Comcast, Verizon, and AT&T interference. The decision to ignore the will of the public and kill existing popular net neutrality rules is going to pour napalm on that fire, not put it out. And these people, Comcast, Verizon, AT&T, I don't care who carries the broadband. That's supposedly what they're there to do, provide a public with the service that they offer. That's it. Not to play politics, not to get in there and do what Google and Twitter are starting to do. They don't like something, they call it hate speech. They don't like this, they call it that. They'll flag you, they'll throw you off. This is the First Amendment, ladies and gentlemen, under attack at its worst in this country, the worst it has ever been. You saw what was going on college campuses. Free speech. They didn't like it. They didn't want you to have free speech if it violated their snowflake thoughts. When asked about, don't you believe in the First Amendment and the right for you to speak your mind, they wanted those rights taken away from you if your opinions went against theirs. Now, I wonder how they would feel if the table was turned and saying, you know what? We can't have you just saying anything that you want. We can't have you exercising your First Amendment, no matter how idiotic it is. But wouldn't that be the desired result? Think about it. If I can't say what I want to say and I'm a hate artist, well then you should be precluded of saying what you're saying, which would effectively kill the First Amendment altogether. It is what it is. And speaking of the Twitter people, the twits out there, Twitter hate speech police ready to punish users for sites they visit on the web. Hit with a serious case of Trump derangement syndrome coupled with a dose of Russian meddling disease, Twitter executives are ramping up their hate speech surveillance to include not only the Twitter platform, but also monitoring sites visited by users outside the Twitter ecosystem. More on this when we get back. Have a word you want to put in on this short week, 800-313-9443. We'll kind of treat it as an open phone Friday on a Wednesday. Okay.
know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
For the past 14 years, it's been my privilege to host the National Intel Report on RBN, to offer a platform to interview exceptional guests, to provoke critical thought, and examine evidence, whether real, fake, or somewhere in between, and allow our audience to call in and participate with your input and questions, in order to help us all reach an educated decision and arrive at our own truth. Our world has changed. It's now been turned on its head. Real is now considered fake, and mainstream fake is now pushed as real, rather than any clear thinking, consensus, or rationale.
Those few remaining beacons of light, the ones still shining through the mainstream media lies, propaganda, and deception, are being viciously attacked at every level through attempts at censorship, threatening advertisers, jailing hosts, and even killing journalists brave enough to speak the truth to you. We are in a war for our very freedom and existence, and through these despicable acts, freedom haters, collectivists, and communitarians have shown they will stop at nothing to blot out these last few beacons of light. Truth is becoming increasingly more difficult to unmask, just as the term unmasking itself is spoken by those usually anonymous sources. They promote their lies, wishing to mask the truths by ignoring it, vilifying it, or conspiratorializing it into a black hole abyss.
Regrettably, RBN has reached the tipping point, and through internal audit and actuarial review, it has now been determined that the only life raft of survival to this network is to go the way of PBS, that being audience-supported. Like a cornered animal, the left with veracity is pulling out all the stops with every effort to effectively blacken our beacon forever. Help us, folks. Help yourselves. Don't let our light stop shining. Our motto has always been, because you can handle the truth. It's time to review your budget, folks. If you want the truth to keep flowing through RBN, go to republicbroadcasting.org and become a regular monthly donor of 30, 40, 50, or 100 or more a month and ensure you keep the truth flowing.
I see you, my friend, and touch your face again. Miracles will happen as we dream. But we're never gonna survive unless we get a little crazy. No, we're never gonna survive unless we are a little crazy.
By the way, think twice before accepting Twitter's cookie policy. You're going to be tracked and punished for sites you visit by the Twitter hate speech police. According to Zero Hedge, in what amounts to a major shift in Twitter policy, Mashable's Carrie Flynn reports that the company announced on Friday, and this was last Friday, that we'll be monitoring users' behavior on and off the platform, and will suspend a user's account if they affiliate with violent organizations, according to an update to Twitter's Help Center on Friday. Abusive behavior, we believe in freedom of expression and open dialogue, but that means little as an underlying philosophy if voices are silenced because people are afraid to speak up. In order to ensure that people feel safe expressing diverse opinions and beliefs, we prohibit behavior that crosses the line into abuse, including behavior that harasses, intimidates, or uses fear to silence another user's voice. Now, context matters when evaluating for abusive behavior and determining appropriate enforcement actions. Factors we may take into consideration include, but are not limited to, whether the behavior is targeted in an individual or group of people. A report has been filed by the target of the abuse or a bystander. The behavior is newsworthy and in the legitimate public interest. Violence You may not make specific threats of violence or wish for the serious physical harm, death, or disease of an individual or group of people. This includes, but not limited to, threatening or promoting terrorism. Now, you may also not affiliate with organizations that, whether by their own statements or activity, both on and off the platform, use or promote violence against civilians to further their cause. Now, you may be thinking, oh, well, this is just a single-edged sword. Abuse. You may not engage in the targeted harassment of someone or incite other people to do so. We consider abusive behavior an attempt to harass, intimidate, or silence someone else's voice. Hateful conduct. You see what realm this is going into. They're going to be setting up their own rules of what they consider to be abusive or hateful. Hate speech. Remember, folks. Hateful imagery and display names. You may not use hateful images. Mossad Mike, did you get that? That's his handle on Facebook. You may not promote violence against, threaten, or harass other people on the basis of race, ethnicity, national origin, sexual orientation. I don't know what the hell is sexual orientation anymore. As long as I got a sex piece, I can call myself whatever I want and use it in whatever way I wish, and it's normal, natural, and healthy. I see. Gender identity, religious affiliation, age, disability, or serious disease. Hateful imagery and display names. You may not use hateful images or symbols in your profile image or profile header. You also may not use your username, display name, or profile bio to engage in abusive behavior, such as targeted harassment or expressing hate towards a person, group, or protected category. You know, folks, in this country, you could hate whoever you wanted to, and that was protected. Not anymore. And as Kerry Flynn notes, these changes come amid aggressive moves by Twitter to curb abuse and harassment on the site after more than a decade of essentially letting the abusers operate freely. Over the last week, Twitter has taken action against the accounts of white supremacists, which are mostly white separatists, but nowadays we just call them supremacists. They're hateful people. Twitter permanently banned Tim Treadstone Gunnett, a prominent alt-right troll, more widely known as Baked Alaska, earlier this week. It also removed the verification badges of Jason Kessler, one of the organizers of a Racist Unite the Right rally in Charlottesville, and the alt-right activist Richard Spencer. Guess he won't be making any posts there either. Twitter's decision to monitor, you see where this is going, decisions to monitor users off-site spark concern from free speech advocates such as Andrew Torba, founder of the social network Gab. This is a scary precedent to set, he wrote in an email to Mashable. Rules like this will only force dissidents and those who are speaking truth to power to silence themselves or risk being silenced by Twitter. Twitter's new rules will not be enforced on December 18th. That's their way of saying Merry Christmas. And of course, if you're doing nothing wrong, then why would this be an issue for you? Will be the instant reposit of those defending yet more intrusion within America's surveillance state. Wow. Absolutely amazing. By the way, is this the 54th anniversary of who killed Kennedy? I'm surprised they didn't blame it on the Las Vegas shooter. Oh, and the latest on Sandy Hook. As soon as that comes around. Ah, boy. Somebody doesn't know how to make a post here. This is our Sandy Hook dominoes beginning to fall. Civil suit against investigator Wolfgang Halbig has been dropped. And this is the one Deanna Spingola told me to stay away from. In a stunning move, father of Noah Ponzer, the alleged Sandy Hook victim has dropped his civil lawsuit against investigators and school security expert Wolfgang Halbig, just as he was about to have to provide a video, a deposition in the case. Appearing on Northwest Liberty News, Halbig said that despite the lawsuit being dropped, he would continue to pursue obtaining information via a counter lawsuit. A little bit more on this when we get back. Speak your piece. We won't be here Thursday or Friday, folks. Something on your mind? Doesn't necessarily have to be on topic that I'm talking about. 800-313-9443. And from the guy yesterday from California, we've got a little bit of news here on the border agent that was murdered.
Tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website.
If your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2, keep it today.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds, up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
College calls police on student who said tranny on radio.
Oh,
my goodness, say it isn't so. University called the police on a student who used the word tranny on radio, kicking him and his co-host out of the studio, according to this video that we have posted on the site. You need to go look at it yourself. The unnamed manager of the student radio station at University of Minnesota Morris, go figure, told the student co-host to leave the station, asserting that they had violated Federal Communications Commission and their policy. But the university has since changed its stated reasoning behind the student's suspension, reported the College Fix. By the way, that is collegefix.com. You can definitely, you see one tranny that's trying to punch somebody. Brandon Albrecht, a UMM student, said on air, you know, it's automatically that one guy that you know who I'm talking about. I'll bet you know. I'm not going to dox anybody and name them on air, but you two know if I say tranny who looks like he's going to punch someone, yep, that's the guy. Now, Albrecht used the term while discussing the lack of Antifa violence at his school with co-host Taylor Lehman on the radio program Deplorable Radio. Albrecht asserted that the station manager came approximately 15 minutes later with a police officer to kick them off the air while speaking with the College Fix. Hey guys, here's the station manager saying, hey guys, I'm just going to have to ask you to leave. you said a couple of words that break FCC violations, and so for today I'm going to have to stop your show, specifically tranny. That's a hate slur, and it's not allowed on radio. I need you to leave. When asked if she had to call the police, the station manager said, it's a violation. You are breaking the law. I just need to enter a report. 1 week later, Albrecht said that he and co-host Lehman were permanently suspended from the radio by an executive decision. Albrecht told the College Fix that the board told the co-host that they had, in fact, not broken any FCC rules by saying tranny, but said they had received complaints. Probably the one tranny there that was punching people out on the campus. That the two students were intoxicated while broadcasting during an earlier show. Albrecht denied this allegations. The officials are wrong, said Bob Korn Revere, a media and First Amendment lawyer to the College Fix. Neither saying tranny nor drunk broadcasting is a violation of the FCC rules. The radio station manager told Albrecht Wednesday that he and his co-host had not played two or more songs each hour. I guess that's one of the requirements. The radio station manager told Albrecht Wednesday that he and his co-host had not played two or more songs each hour. The situation the radio station is dealing with relates to compliance with DJ expectations and station standards. And Melissa Vangsness, a spokeswoman for the university, to the College Fix, but Albrecht said that his show was not the only one that did not follow every rule and believes that he and his co-hosts were suspended because of the use of tranny. Well, that's the reason they gave in the first place. That's why they called the cops. You're a hater. Here's the cops. Why the radio station asked Albrecht and Lehman to resign, Albrecht said that they want to make the executive board vote on the issue. It's a shame that our freedom of speech is being curtailed today in the very place it should be the most free, on college campus. The Daily Caller News Foundation reached out to University of Minnesota Morris, but received no comment in time for press. Well, I don't doubt they did not respond. All right, for the gentleman that brought up the issue of the dead Border Patrol agent, it's looking more and more. I saw the Attorney General from Texas on air today, and he's pretty much says, I don't know what the hell was going on, but we know this much. We got a dead Border Patrol agent, and the guy with him is still in hospital, evidently in serious condition. We'll roll around to that in 1 second here. By the way, the official what really happened Thanksgiving turkey stuffing recipe. Mike Rivera sent this over to me via email today, and I had it posted. Now, you may notice something about this that might seem a little bit odd for a turkey stuffing recipe. The ingredients, 3/4 cup of butter or margarine, 2 large celery stalks chopped, 1 medium onion chopped, about 1/2 cup, 9 cups of soft bread cubes, 1.5 teaspoons of chopped fresh thyme leaves, or 1.5 teaspoon of dried thyme leaves, 1 teaspoon of salt, 1/2 teaspoon of ground sage, 1/4 teaspoon of pepper, and 1 cup unpopped popcorn. What? Melt the butter in a 4-quart Dutch oven or high heat. Cook celery and onion in butter for 6 to 8 minutes, stirring occasionally until tender. Remove Dutch oven from the heat. Gently toss celery mixture and remaining ingredients using a spoon until bread cubes are evenly coated. Use to stuff 1 10- to 12-pound turkey and bake at 325 until the turkey blows its ass off. I missed the last line. At any rate, that's a legitimate recipe, folks. Just don't put the popcorn in the turkey's back end. Phil in New Jersey. Hello, Phil.
Hey, good evening. Can I ask you a question off the topic you were?
Sure.
A lot about the people, alt sites are talking about the coming dollar reset going back to a gold standard. You heard anything about that?
I've been hearing those rumblings for as many years as I think I've been alive.
Yeah, me too. But apparently now Trump is behind doing it as well, and there's seven people on the Fed, and Trump's going to be able to replace four of the seats. Three are gone. Now he's got rid of Yellen. He's putting Jerome in there, and apparently that's kind of their plan, and he apparently made some deal, according to the deep alternate sites that we all go to, that with Putin and China, and they're going to the gold standard as well, and they're all going to freaking go there at one time, and there's a number of guys out there that are claiming it's going to happen at the next Fed meeting after this Jerome guy gets put in on the 28th, if he does make it through the Senate, and then the next meeting's the 12th or 13th. I don't know, but they claim that it has to go to $10,000 an ounce in order to equal out the $47 trillion of cash that's floating around out there.
That's what I was just thinking about. What are they going to reset the value of, to what? You know, $10,000 an ounce for silver, or gold, rather? It's going to have to be much higher.
Yeah, they said the only amount that'll work without sinking all the economies is they got to go all the way to $10,000 an ounce on gold to match up with the cash out there, because they only got 40% of the gold in the whole world for the amount of cash that's out there, and so that's the one big rumor that's going out there.
Okay, so am I to take it then there's going to be a devaluation of the currency? Because obviously they cannot match the price of gold to cover all that cash that's floating out there.
Yep, that's right. So I don't know. That's one of the things. The second thing that's out in the deep internet now is the new revelations on the Vegas shooting, where that king from Saudi Arabia was at the hotel and it was really an assassination attempt, went bad.
Uh-huh.
Your guy, Dr. Parker, told us about it this past week. And once he mentioned it, I got online and started searching up, and sure enough, there's, a lot of stuff out there about what really went down, and you can see the video of them walking the king through the casino with, 10 security guards, and he's walking out in civilian clothes, carrying his robe in his hand after that night. I saw that video that night, but didn't make anything of it. Everybody said, who's this high-flying guy that they're protecting like crazy, And so they claimed that that's what then started the crap in Saudi Arabia with, that was the king that appointed his son who's gonna make Saudi Arabia a little less crazy, and the serious nuts over there didn't like that, so they tried to knock him off in Vegas, and when it didn't work, his son and him started rounding up all those guys over there, and that's kind of the part of the whole thing. And that's all on
that. Doesn't
a lot of guys got that going too?
That doesn't make a whole lot of sense.
Yeah, I probably didn't explain it too good, John. I'm just driving home on a backcountry road here from work, and I don't really have. If I got home and wrote down some notes for you, I'd probably be able to explain it better. But everybody out there can check it out. We all do the same thing, search the internet for good information, and that might be something that people can check out. They might learn more than I can say.
Anyway. I had heard that assertion, and I promptly dismissed it myself, because the operation that went on out there wasn't some foreign group of people. This was a false flag with military and or police involvement. Now, what police? We do not know. Evidently, Mr. Lombardo out there, Clark County Sheriff, he wasn't quite falling in line with the FBI narrative. And he himself, in a press conference, said that, no, there was more than one shooter.
Yeah, they're claiming that Paddock was supposed to supply guns. He was a gun runner, and that he was supposed to supply the guns to the dudes doing the assassination team.
Yeah.
And he somehow was a turncoat or something, and they killed him in the room, and then the two guys started shooting out the window, and they were trying to blow up some tank And then the FBI came in and shot those two guys,
pulled them out.
There
is a new video that surfaced that we have posted on the website. It's about 30, 35 minutes long that actually shows multiple shooters. I would suggest that you go check that one out. I think you will find it.
No, I agree. There was two dudes shooting in Paddock's room after they killed him, and there was multiple guys in the other hotels. It was a cover-up of the shooting of the crowd while the assassination attempt was going on in the other hotel. And it was three hotels that were shooting in, apparently.
And isn't it fascinating? We don't see any of the video, and there were hundreds and thousands of video cameras. I mean, every floor of Mandalay Bay, every corridor, stairwell, out on the gambling floor, they've got the eyes in the sky. That whole place is video monitored. I wouldn't doubt that they have video monitoring in the bathrooms as well. And what did we get to see? We saw Paddock laying in his permanent repose with an AK, I think it was, or whatever rifle, kind of draped over his leg, and a few spent shells, and that was it. Oh, and one other photo that we got to see, it was the dynamic entry that the police made into that room. Now, everything else is gone, and now in the hands of the FBI that we love and we trust so much.
Right. Well, you know, I'm just telling you what's out there when you do the searching these days, you know, and who knows what's really true, but it's starting to put more pieces together that might have been a case of it, especially if the video and the pictures that you could see of the king being marched through there, and apparently he owns two or three floors at a Mandalay Bay, and anyway, I don't want to go on and on with it, but
right.
I'm not 100% believing it, but I figured I'd check it with you. You're like the expert and everything.
I quickly dismissed it. this was a government op from the word go.
All right, man. I'm with you. Thank you very much for everything you do. Happy Thanksgiving to you, okay?
Thank you. I appreciate it. Thank you,
bye-bye.
Phil. John in Austin. Hello, John.
Hello.
Hi.
Hey, John. About 25 years ago, I'm lying in bed in London one night listening to the radio, and the guy's having a phone-in trivia quiz. And this lady's on, got a couple of questions right. And our next question is this. Who was shot in Dallas on November 22nd, 1963? And do you know what her answer was?
I have no idea.
J.R. Ewing.
J.R. Ewing. Is this a dementia patient that got that TV show confused with John F. Kennedy's killing?
Well, that TV show, Dallas, was very, very popular.
Yeah. Who killed J.R.? Yeah. Never did watch it, by the way. Never watched any of those late-night soap things, so yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of confused people out there. A lot of them. Thanks for your call, John.
All right, mate. Cheers.
I appreciate it. That's Scotty's John, if you can't tell, buddy, by the brogue. Texas Border Patrol agent Rogelio Martinez appears to have been ambushed and killed by a group of illegal aliens who he and his partner were tracking near the border with Mexico. Local agents reported that he was struck in the head multiple times with a rock or rocks. His unidentified colleague remains in serious condition. The border agent who was killed Sunday while patrolling in Texas near the U.S.-Mexico border was beaten to death by assailants who used rocks to crush his skull. An official with knowledge of the situation told the Daily Caller News Foundation, Rogelio Martinez and his partner were working in the Big Bend sector when they reported they had been injured and were in need of assistance, according to Customs and Border Protection. Responding agents transported both agents to the local hospital where Martinez passed away from his injuries. His partner, whose name has not been released by CPB, remains hospitalized in serious condition. In a statement released Sunday, they confirmed that Martinez's death, but did not provide details about the circumstances leading to the incident. Shortly after, confirmation on Breitbart, Texas, reported that representatives of the National Border Patrol Council were told by local border agents that illegal immigrants attacked Martinez and his partner. What we know is the Border Patrol agent Rogelio Martinez appears to have been ambushed by a group of illegal aliens whom he was tracking. Brandon Judd, president of the NBPC, told Breitbart, Texas, our agents' reports from the ground say he was struck in the head multiple times with a rock or rocks. That account was independently confirmed by a Border Patrol official who spoke on the condition of anonymity because they were not authorized to discuss the ongoing investigation. They were beaten with rocks, the official told the DCNF, as in rock in hand and smashing it into their heads. They were beaten. Now, CPB did not provide further details about Martinez and his death. When reached for comment, the FBI's El Paso office is leading the investigation. Well, if it's the FBI that's there, you can bet your bottom dollar that any evidence will be suppressed. Are people starting to get the idea about this now? That once the FBI is on scene, everything gets scarfed up and details are withheld. Kind of like on the JFK assassination that happened 54 years ago today. Amazing. And let me see, any short stuff that I can cram in here toward the end of the broadcast? Quickly here. By the way, there's a new I've Got You policy out there with a new technology, folks. Millions of people have handed their DNA over to genetic testing companies like Ancestry or 23andMe to learn more about their family trees. You've seen the commercials. But when you ship off your saliva, law enforcement could have access to your DNA. Police could use genetic information it gets from those companies to identify you in a criminal investigation, even if you've never used one of those services. Jacksonville resident Eric Yarham wanted to learn more about his family tree, so he mailed off his saliva to 23andMe. Just trying to unravel the mystery is your genetics, said Yarham, who lives in the Riverside area. That lingering 0.3% is sub-Saharan African, so that's swimming around in my DNA. Yarham had no idea police could request his genetic information. Both 23andMe and Ancestry confirm your genetic information could be disclosed to law enforcement if they have a warrant. Warrants? We don't need no stinking warrants. Action News Jax asked 23andMe privacy officer Kate Black whether the company notifies customer about that possibility before they mail in their spit. We try to make information available on the website in various forms, so through frequently asked questions through information in our privacy center, according to Black. According to the company's self-reported data, law enforcement has requested information for five American 23andMe customers. So far, the company reports it has not turned over any information. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I believe that. All right. Y'all out there, enjoy your Thanksgiving. I will not be turkeying down any which way or form. I think I'll probably be eating spaghetti or something tomorrow. I don't know. The Lions on at 11:30 Central. Hey, shut up, Mike. Quit shaking your head. I can hear it rattling from here. At any rate, have a good Thanksgiving, folks. I will see you back here. Well, no, I won't see you. Steve Elkins will be with Ron McDonald on Monday. It's going to be my travel day back from the farm. So as promised to that singer of 71 years of age, this is simply amazing that he's still performing. This is the song that he did several years ago that was never played on air. I'll leave this parting wishing you a happy Thanksgiving. I'll see you Tuesday.
Never there with their hands in the air. hands in the air. I've seen bad news messengers avoiding kings, cheating spouses, twisting the rings with their hands in the air. I got their hands in the air. As guilty as the wind out on the sea, affecting who we are and who we'll be. There's a desperation, a real despair. Even the good people are starting to declare, I've got my hands in the air. All my hands are in the air. They're surrendering, they're giving in. They don't want anything not to go through this again. They got their hands in the air. All their hands are in the air. And they're sinking in the quicksand like a stone. Broken to the marrow of the bone. Oh, tears. And the gamblers, they're all cashing in their chips. There's a man in the middle of a parking lot, wondering which way he should go. There's a star on the horizon, sinking low, low. You corruptors of truth, you killers of spirit, you marauders of youth, get your hands in the air. I want to see your hands in the air. If you're selling these lies, these impossible dreams, you can keep on washing, but you'll never get clean. Get your hands in the air. Ah, let me see your hands in the air.
There's an ongoing war right here in America. Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. because you can handle the truth.